This is a free download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Ian Lee Best Of Podcast. Even though it's called the Ian Lee Best Of Podcast, it's not all about me, although it is. It's also about two little ladies I like to call my assistants.
What?
Catherine Boyle and Kelly Betts.
Hi mate.
Hey. How's it going, girls?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Nice shoes, Kelly.
Thanks, nice.
I like your hairstyle, Catherine. Looking really boss.
Are you talking to me?
And I've got to say, you really both look like you've lost a lot of weight. Nice work, girls.
Why is he doing that?
Creep.
I came back for a little bit this week. When I say a little bit, I mean literally 2 days. Because listen to my voice, huh? Do you know what I'm saying? My voice is my tool. And if my tool isn't working, I can't give it to you. And I came back with a bang, like I mean it!
Phone in the hottest topic of the day, and you're...
What was that? What are you pressing in there?
I forgot how to do the radio.
Do you need me to come in there?
No.
Start again. Okay. Everyone,
I totally ballsed it up. How does top of hour? There we go.
Go.
Hang on. Right.
Go.
Hang on.
Go.
Yep. Here we go. I have 1 week off, high on cough medicine and other pharmaceuticals, and I forget how to drive a desk. Now, where were we?
Local and vocal across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Dear listener, I kind of need you to help present the show. There's no money in it for either of us, it turns out. 08459 455 555 if you want to waffle away. And Catherine, you're going to have to do a lot of talking.
Good.
Sorry?
Okay, if I must.
What you got in the papers?
Stuart Loxton, 58, has infuriated his wife.
Oh, what's he done?
I'm talking about Sue.
Oh, Sue.
Sue's infuriated by continuing to use a 100-year-old wooden loo in a building they're renovating in Ottery St Mary, Devon. That sounds like a very, very luxury problem.
Where's he supposed to go? In a bucket?
Just don't use the 100-year-old wooden loo. Maybe it's supposed to be there as a talking point.
Well, hey, nice loo. Yeah, it's wooden. All right, it looks old.
It's 100 years old. Don't use it. Just for looking at.
No, and no one has a looking at loo. Does it? People, when we were looking at getting a new bathroom a couple of years ago, we went to various places, and people have urinals in their bathrooms now.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I wouldn't have them. I've only got one man in my house.
Well, we went to one place, and there's this really weird-looking thing, and I thought it was some kind of futuristic bin. And the guy went, no, it's a urinal.
My sister washed her hands in a urinal once.
What?
Yeah, when she was little, she went in the wrong loo. She went, I've got really fancy sinks in there. No, they haven't.
The boys love a good urinal.
Do they?
But I often... they want to use the grown-up one, so I have to lift them up.
At what point do you stop dropping your trousers completely at urinals?
Some men still do it.
No, they don't.
Some men still do it. The thing is, you've got a fly, right, on your trousers, and that you just unzip the fly. Some men unzip the fly, undo the belt, undo the top button, and pull their trousers down around
so
their bum.
So backsides are out?
Yep. It is the weirdest, most inappropriate thing I've ever seen in my life. It's horrible. Why would you do that?
It's very Belgian, isn't it?
It's like
the mannequin piss.
Sorry?
That's what it's called, le mannequin piss.
Oh, for goodness sake, she said it twice.
My granddad.
No.
My granddad had a corkscrew of that. That's inappropriate, isn't it?
Listen, but there are people on Facebook who've been applauding the fact that Justin Dealey has been presenting the show. It means their children can listen. Come on, we're kid-friendly. Then you come out with language like that.
Sickles.
Hey, this is a good story.
What's this?
The jihadis.
Oh, yes. British jihadis.
By the way, I mean, I don't want to make light of it, but what a great name for a band, the jihadis. But instead of spelling it J-I-H-A-D-I-S, you do double E at the end. Just makes it, you know, a bit more fun. Hey, we're the jihadis.
Yeah.
No, you're not having
to rhyme.
I'll think of something.
Baddies. Appropriate.
There we go. Thank you.
Brit jihadis fighting for Islamic State in Syria are being fueled by rich tea biscuits from Asda.
Stop this.
The Sun has the proof. They've got a picture with an arrow.
Sick film.
The 40p packets are thought to have been snatched from aid convoys. Fighters have put snaps of the snack on Twitter saying it gives them energy to fight the West.
No, it doesn't. I don't know if you've ever had a rich tea.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever had a rich tea in the hot climates of Syria and Iraq. Man alive, you are going to be dry.
Yeah.
We should be applauding ASDA. They're working for us.
That's drying them out from the inside.
They're going to be husks. I mean, they're spiritual husks anyway. They'll be physical husks. They'll be so... Who likes a rich tea?
No one. Not out of choice. It's no. the last biscuit in the barrel, isn't
it? Is that all you got? I'm peckish.
Why bother with a biscuit if you're going to do that?
There's no need for that.
Not bother.
There's no need for
that. Why have you turned this page over? Is this for the ghost picture?
Yeah.
This to me looks like one of those... You know, you can get apps.
Ooh.
And you can put an app over... You can put a ghost in any photo.
We have an app that we put ghosts in photos and show them to Justin Dealey as evidence, and he believes it every single time.
He looks at us like, I keep telling you, when will you learn?
Yep.
Stunned, Chris Ledbetter took his last photo of his dying granddad, then found he'd captured a ghostly figure at the bedside. No, he didn't.
Using ghost app.
Bob Large, 76, then pulled through. Bob Large.
That is a great name. What's your name, Bob Large? Sorry?
Despite
Bob Large?
Listen, this is...
Lamonge?
This is a serious bit.
Oh.
Despite having bladder cancer and kidney failure and being given just days to live. He pulled through. That's happy.
Is he alive?
Yes.
What's your name? Bob Large. Blamonge?
Bob Large.
Bobledge? Collage? Say it slowly. Bob Large. Ah? Blamonge?
It does sound like a noise, doesn't it?
One of my favourite characters in a sitcom was in Arrested Development. It was played by Chachi, and he was a lawyer. I've got to get this right. His name was Bob Lob Law.
Bob Blah Blah.
Blah Blah Blah. And he had a law blog.
Did he?
Bob Lob Law Law's law blog.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Anyway, so this gentleman pulled through. Hooray, good side of the story.
Great side of the
spooky
story.
Spooky side. Hospital staff say other patients have seen the spooky woman.
No, they don't.
Which Bob is calling his guardian angel. No, 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 no.
Here's a call.
Reason I've rung, Ian.
Yes.
I've got to ask a question. Something happened to me on Sunday, and I thought to myself, I wonder if anybody else has done this.
Hello, have you Philip. Ever got on cheeky. The cheeky.
Have you ever got, have
cheeky.
You ever got on the... Pardon?
Cheeky.
No, it was...
Cheeky.
It wasn't my fault.
Cheeky.
But it was. Have you ever
cheeky.
Got on the wrong... Thank you. Have you
cheeky.
Ever got on the wrong... Ian, have you ever got on
cheeky.
The wrong...
Cheeky!
I beg your pardon. Hello? Hello?
Cheeky.
Oh.
I'm going to take your hand and bring you into the back room of the radio.
Cheeky. I don't think that's allowed anymore.
When a reporter and presenter talk about an important news story, that's called a two-way, you see? It's a two-way between the reporter and the presenter. I didn't know this. We always use that phrase too. I had no idea. Mm. What's a disco?
That's when you get two guests head-to-head.
No, it's not. It's where they play loud music and have flashing lights and you dance. In your face, Boyle. If there's audio within the two-way, it's called an illustrated two-way. When presenting a two-way, as I often do on my award-winning, not award-winning breakfast show, it's important to set up the story the way it deserves to be set up. So, if it's a serious story, then the tone has to be very, very serious. Like this. Pensioners living on a mobile home site in Hartford. By the way, the voice is there. The energy is there. L'énergie, as they say, dans la française. The voice is kind of is certainly more vibrant than it was yesterday, but it's also still a little shy. So it might trot off at any point. If at any point you see my mouth moving and no sound coming out, you jump in and you fill that hole.
Right.
Can you do that?
Definitely.
Tufty? Elliot, thank you. Pensioners living... She looks like Elliot from E.T., I think, with her hair like that, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one I was going for.
Yeah, thank you. Can I have an Elliot, please? So I've been asked for one of those for 35 years, but yes, of course. But this is a serious story, so let's focus on the serious story now, because this is what people...
Well, you focus, I'm
this
focused.
Is what the people listen for. They don't listen for the bants, they listen for the serious stories, OK?
Go.
And here comes a serious story coming now.
10 minutes past six.
I sound a bit like Chris Rea. I sound a bit like Chris Rea, don't I? I sound like Chris Rea, don't I? When my voice like this and I'm smoking a fag. I don't know if he smokes any fags.
Where's he from?
He's a Geordie.
Well, you make him sound like he's from Cardiff.
Hey, what's the beef? I'm Chris Rea, play the blues. Got stuck on the motorway once, wrote a song.
Okay.
Sorry, hang on a second.
Across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is Ian Lee.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
I got stuck on the motorway, I wrote a song about it. Number one. pensioners living on a mobile home site in Hertfordshire say they are living in fear of their traveller landlords. I've noticed something that sits uncomfortably with me.
Go,
that
tell me.
We've said a lot on the show this morning, and it's only just dawned on me that I feel this is wrong.
Right.
That we're saying this. Maybe you can reassure me. Maybe I will point it out to you. This is the headlines. Let me read a sentence. Now I've said it, you'll know what's wrong. You'll know what I'm talking about. First line in the headlines. Elderly residents living on a mobile home site in Hertfordshire say they're living in fear of their traveller landlords. Have you spotted it?
Yeah.
We're saying traveller.
Yeah, but you know why?
Why?
Because that's the reason why they have trouble getting hold of them.
Is it? What do we say? Are travellers classed as a race now? You can be racist against travellers. So let me put
Romani's certainly a race.
Let me put it into a context then. Elderly residents living on a mobile home site in Hertfordshire say they're living in fear of their Polish landlords.
No, because that doesn't imply a lifestyle. Do you see? I know what you mean.
I see a very subtle difference. All right, let me try this. Lifestyle, you say. Elderly residents living on a mobile home site in Hertfordshire say they're living in fear of their Jewish landlords.
No, but that doesn't affect where you are in the country, does it?
Well, no, but it's not saying traveller as in they're off backpacking. It's saying traveller as in gypsy, as in Romani, as in traveller. That's what it's saying, isn't it? I don't know. It's just struck me. Maybe I'm being too oversensitive, but it seems to me the word traveller is...
It's being used in a derogatory way.
Yeah. As opposed to a descriptive term. You wouldn't say black, you wouldn't say Polish, you wouldn't say Jewish, you wouldn't say Pakistani. I don't know.
What do we say then?
I don't know. They're landlords. Elderly residents
and
living
part
on...
of the big problem is that they can't get hold of them.
But that's not what we... That part of the story hasn't been highlighted to me. We can't get hold of them, what, because they're not answering the phone? Because they're off travelling. That part of the story hasn't been highlighted to me. Elderly residents living on a mobile home site in Hertfordshire say they're living in fear of their landlords.
OK.
I don't know.
No, you're probably right.
If that feels better to me. Because we've not said in the story, and maybe that was the chair, we've not said in the story they've not been able to get a hold of their landlords because they are travelling all the time. What we've said at the end of the story is we tried all the mobile phone numbers for the owners on the notice board and left messages, but so far no response. No, I don't know. Am I being oversensitive? Oh, I put it out to you. Well, we're having a production meeting on air. 08459 455 555. I put it out to you, dear listener. What do you think? Is the word traveller irrelevant? Because it's hinting at something, isn't it?
That they're less accountable.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying. Get across, I think.
I don't know. What are your genuine thoughts? Am I being an idiot?
Now you've flagged it up, it does look wrong. Yeah.
I just kind of, it feels wrong. Can you help me with this? I'm speaking to you now, dear listener. I don't know. 08459 455 555. Here's the line again. Elderly residents living on a mobile home site in Hertfordshire say they are living in fear of their traveller landlords. Is the word traveller there packed full of... it's leading us somewhere, isn't it, that word traveller? I feel.
OK, well, if we do change it... Do we change it to this? So we talk it intimidated by their landlords. Pensioners have been trying to get the traveller family to address a number of maintenance problems. Do we even mention that they're travellers?
We don't need to, unless...
That's part of the problem.
Unless that's part of the problem. I don't think we need to mention the word traveller because it's a loaded word. Traveller is, gypsy, Romani, traveller. They are loaded words. And when they are included
shouldn't
in stories...
Should they?
They shouldn't be. But when they're included in stories, it's generally because we're winking... People are winking at the audience. Mm. Anna, you're a traveller.
Yes.
Thanks for calling. Am I onto something here? Am I being silly?
No, I don't know why they've had to stick that label on their gypsies. You know, if they're Asians or South Africans or, you know, whatever.
Now, you're a traveller?
Yeah, I live in a house. I have been settled since I was a child.
Now, are you... I'm probably going to storm in here with my hobnail boots here, but gypsy, Romani, tinker, traveller, what's the difference? Or do they all come under the umbrella of traveller?
A traveller and a gypsy is the same. A tinker is an insult.
Well, now we're going into... Because tinkers are Irish.
Yeah, it's an insult. See, English gypsies and Irish gypsies really don't get along. It's very rarely we get along.
And I know. So now you're being offensive towards the Irish, well, the Irish tinkers.
No, because if they'd grown up, they would say the same thing about us.
No. But so Irish tinkers class themselves as tinkers.
But I don't think it's just Irish people that get called tinkers. We get called tinkers as well.
So why isn't this fascinating?
And it's a bit like a pikey. It just means you're slippery. It's an insult.
But there are people who call themselves tinkers. Is that right?
I don't know anyone that would actually call themselves a tinker. It's a bit like saying, "Look at me, I'm a tramp."
So there aren't Irish travellers that would class themselves as tinkers?
No, I don't think so, no.
OK. And you're a British traveller?
Yes.
And you hate the Irish travellers?
No, I don't. I don't hate anyone.
But you dislike them?
No, I didn't say I didn't No, I said that we don't get along.
Why don't you get along with them?
Because normally they're a bit loud and overbearing. You've seen my big fat gypsy wedding. They're a bit full in your face. This is how it is, and I'll hate you for it.
Do you know, I haven't seen it. But isn't it interesting? If someone were to phone up now and say British travellers, oh, they're horrible, they're always stealing stuff, they're very loud, they're very common, how would you react to that?
Everybody's got their opinion.
Oh, you wouldn't, Anna. If someone phoned up and said, "You British travellers are horrible..."
They do it, don't they, when Jonathan does it.
No, I know, But if someone...
One man said one day, "Don't ever give a gypsy a ride on a bus because they walk around with cans of petrol and they set fire to it." It's true, he said. It happened to me one day.
And how did you... And how did that make you feel?
I just thought, God bless him, he needs a bit of psychiatric help.
Yeah.
I think that's wrong that they stuck gypsy on there. And not
they did. Well, Anna, I have to come in because this again. I knew this would happen. People are hearing things that aren't being said. No one stuck gypsy in there.
Travellers, gypsy.
Well, no, it's
traveling
a
community.
Traveller, yeah. No one said
Catherine
gypsy.
Just said it's a lifestyle choice. Well, I'm a gypsy and I don't live that lifestyle.
So you've chosen not to have that lifestyle.
Yeah, but I will always be a gypsy. But it's a bit like you. If you married a gypsy and lived on a gypsy site for 50 years, I'm not being funny, you're never going to be a gypsy. I live in a house, I've been here for quite a long time, I am never going to be a gorger. Just because a dog is a...
I've got to translate. Gorger is... I'm a gorger.
Yeah, you're just a non-traveller. It's not an insult.
But it is used as an insult.
It's our language.
But it is used as an insult, isn't it?
No, because we have our own language.
It doesn't matter whether you have your own language or not. But gorger is used as an insult, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Oh, because I've been told in the past that it can be used as an insult.
No, it's not. We have our own language, and that's just the word that we use for non-gypsies or house dwellers, whatever you want to call it. It's like your house is a kenner, your car's a screen. You know, we've got our own language.
It's a polo, actually. Stay there, because Jamie's in Dunstable. Morning, Jamie.
Morning.
The line that we're talking about, isn't this interesting how this has opened up, is the line I've been reading in the headlines, OK? Elderly residents living on a mobile home site in Hertfordshire say they are living in fear of their traveller landlords. I've raised the question whether the word traveller is important or not. What do you say, Jamie?
I think the word traveller isn't important. It's only relevant if you already have a preconception, because your preconception fills in the missing blanks. If you don't have a preconception of what the word traveller means, it's fine.
But everybody has a preconception of words. Everybody has attaches meaning to words, obviously, their words. And the word traveller comes with baggage, doesn't it?
Yeah, it depends what that baggage is. If you have fond association of travellers, you're going to associate with a good thing. If you have negative association, you'll have a negative association. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but most people, I would say, judging from listening to phone-ins on this radio station and reading the press, most people have negative connotations with travellers. And also, in the context of people living in fear, it feels to me that the word traveller is compounding the potential aggression and violence that's being hinted at in that sentence.
Well, if people already have this preconception, then it's relevant because it's part of the story.
What do you make of it, Justin? Jamie, what preconception do you have of the word?
My experience of travellers is they leave a mess behind. So that's my preconception, is that there's trouble follows them. So it's an association I have.
But not all travellers. You see, in Norway life, we have something we call woodbugs. Like, you have vagrants and tramps. We have woodbugs, and they make mess. They do horrible things. They drink a lot. They're called woodbugs.
I mean, I'm yet to see a set of travellers clean up behind themselves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, you obviously haven't seen many then, because you can't just tar them all with the same brush.
But listen, listen,
but
I don't
want to... I'm just giving you my example.
Jamie, I don't want to go down this well-trodden route of you know, travellers and gypsies and do we like them and do we want them near us and stuff like that. It's specifically about the word in this sentence. Jamie, you said you've got a negative... The story would... Is the fact that they're travellers, Jamie, relevant to this story?
It is, because it depends on your conversation.
Would it be relevant? Okay, would it be relevant if I said that they are living in fear of their black landlords? Because again, it depends on your connotation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And
so would the word black be pertinent in that sentence?
No, because you're describing a kind of a person.
Well, you're describing a race. All right, Jewish. They are living in fear of their Jewish landlords.
Yeah, but there's no negative connotations associated with that.
So the word is adding extra negative impact.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay, Jamie, thank you. Here's an example of my immaturity. I can't believe I said this on the right. What you're about to hear, as soon as I said it, I thought I've crossed the line there. I've really gone up an alleyway I didn't want to go. Have a listen.
In Beaconsfield, the Amersham Road is building up southbound between Longbottom Lane and London Road. And on the trains, the Circle Line...
Longbottom Lane. I'm so sorry. Longbottom Lane.
That's what it's called, isn't it?
It's like, yes, it is. But it just it's like Silly Willy Road or something, isn't it? Sorry, do carry on.
The Circle Line has severe delays clockwise because of a signal failure at Aldgate. Samantha Breath, BBC Three Counties Radio.
Longbottom Lane. Silly Willy Road. Whole drive. You see what I mean? Am I doing being a sheep?
No. So this, I imagined some big fanfare, like ba 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 ba.
And the caller of the podcast goes to Simon off of the Luton.
Ba ba.
We're asking as well, would you report someone for dodging? You're right, Simon.
Oh, yes, yes.
Good clearing of the throat, because we're coming to you now. Sorry, I opened your fader a bit early. Sorry. The benefit story, what would you like to say?
Morning, Ian.
Morning.
Have you got a pen handy?
No, but I can pretend.
Okay, yes. I'd like to do my civic duty and report a benefits cheat.
Oh, blimey, go on.
Right, her name's Elizabeth Windsor, although I believe that's not her real name. She's actually a German immigrant. Her name's Saxe Coburg. Her husband's Greek. Now, I've got pretty strong evidence that she lives in a huge palace, attends banquets, got a gold carriage, even a private army. I also believe her extended family are on the scam as well. You know, it's 25 years in 2 days' time since the Berlin Wall came down. And yet here we are living in a society where people are being encouraged to behave just as they did in East Germany under the Stasi, where everyone is spying on each other and snitching on each other, etc., etc., while the people at the very top of the pile sit back and laugh their socks off at us.
I'm glad you cleared your throat, Simon. You've left me speechless. That's a marvellous piece of work you've just delivered there. Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thank you very much indeed.
If you hear a whisper, give us a shout.
Ian Lee.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Right. So, I think I was sick in the night.
What's the giveaway?
Well, do you know what? I'm convinced I threw up in the night. I woke up at 1 o'clock with all of the feeling. Isn't the body a wonderful, wonderful invention? Thank you, God.
And annoying.
And Jesus. Yours is. You constantly let rip.
I do not.
We're sharing a train today, and boy, oh boy, I hope we're in the silent carriage. Silent but fine.
Shut up. I'll be blaming it on you anyway.
The body is an amazing thing, particularly yours, Kelly.
Boom, chicka, wow, wow.
So, the body is... I'll do that again. The body is an amazing thing, particularly yours, Kelly.
Thanks, man.
The body is an amazing thing. Particularly yours, Kelly.
Thanks, man.
No, because
hers is so tiny and yet it all works.
I woke up.
I think.
And I thought, I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be sick.
I had that.
I had the sweat. And it's in my story, mate. This is
but
my.
I think you're hijacking my story.
This is my pain. This is my grief.
Because I told you I've been ill yesterday. And so now you're dreaming that of me, obviously. And
this
then...
is my moment. This is my perfect moment.
And so, obviously what's happening now is that you're making it about you. Carry
I
on.
Woke up. Okay, and I
because I know I was sick.
I am going to be sick. Right, I'm going to be. I had the sweats.
I had the feeling at the back of the throat. I had the dizzy head. I thought, oh, shoot, this has come from nowhere, man. I got up. I ran to the bathroom. I fell out. I slipped over. I fell on the floor. And I was giggling. I think I've got to be really sick. And I got to the toilet and I assumed the position. And then I really apologise. All of the people on Facebook who are disappointed I'm back, well, this is going to upset you. I swallowed it.
Oh.
I stayed there. Nothing came. I went back to bed.
So you're not as ill as me.
It was like a phantom pregnancy. So I really have suffered, but you've actually been sick.
Yeah.
Tell us about
Repeatedly.
That.
Repeatedly. No, I don't think people need to know that. It's 25 too. But just let's say, I'm not very well, but I'm battling
on. I think they do need to know it, because you're pulling the faces, you're doing a lot of yawns, you've dressed in mufti today. You're not making the F, mate. There's no effort coming from you. Well, and yet, yesterday I was ill, and I made a flipping good effort. Didn't dial it in. You're dialing it in.
Well, you went on about it for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And
you talk it like that.
Do you want to hear the best song you're ever going to hear in your life?
Yeah, but I fear it's not going to happen now.
Oh, here we go. Yeah? Wait for the horns. You ready? One, two, three, four! This is brilliant. So, a fella, we're talking about travellers throughout the whole show and what the word implies, the baggage that comes with the word. And a fella called up, we never actually got to his point, because he was telling me how you can recognise travellers by, well, have a listen to this.
It's just a question I had. If you, for argument's sake, had some gardening work or a driveway done by a so-called traveller, yes. And something went wrong.
Yep.
And you were telling the story to, say, friends or relatives, whatever the situation may be, would you say that you had a problem with your landscape gardener? Or would you mention there was a traveller that done your landscape gardening?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't get it done by anybody who just knocked on the door.
I appreciate that, but that's not necessarily the case.
No, OK. Well, how would I know they were travellers?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you're a wise man. I think you can pretty much realise that once you start speaking to these gentlemen or ladies, whatever it may be, you can pretty much tell that they're from a travelling community. And
how?
I'm sure in some cases they may even tell. Okay,
if they don't tell me they're travellers, Peter, how would I know?
Well, because you can normally tell from an accent and the way they do things. But let's go on the argument that they have told you they're from a travelling community. Would you then mention that in conversation?
Well, listen, we're going to follow the left turn in the road in a second, but let's go on the right turn, because I don't know if I would be able to tell they were travellers.
What
are the telltale signs?
Well, normally it's the attitudes
What's a traveller's attitude?
Well, sometimes they can be quite aggressive. I'm not saying all, so please don't put me on the spot of all, because that's not a fair thing to do.
They're quite aggressive.
In general... No, in general, they can seem aggressive. I'm not saying they are aggressive, but it's a tone of voice. It's the way they speak. You can normally tell from an accent.
Catherine can seem... I don't know what a traveller's accent is. Catherine can seem aggressive.
You don't know what a traveller's accent is?
No.
Have you ever met any?
Well, I spoke to one earlier on, and she didn't have an accent.
Like she told you, she's more of an English traveller, or there was a word that you used earlier that sort of took her out of the travelling community. I'm on about, in general, you can pretty much tell a traveller from their style, from the way they dress, from the way they act, and from their accent.
Honestly, I'm not playing the fool here. How do travellers dress?
Well, in general, I find a lot of travellers, what I notice when they're driving around, is they often wear, like, a shirt and trousers, but for some
I'm wearing a shirt and trousers!
Yes, but what I'm saying is
I've got
wear
shirt
trainers.
And trousers on.
Look, listen, you can beat around the bush. The point is...
No,
you can tell a traveller.
Peter, I don't want to beat around the bush. Tell me how you can tell a traveller. You can't say you can tell a traveller because they're wearing the shirt and trousers.
With trainers.
Oh, Peter! That's
Come
rubbish!
On.
With
it's
trainers?
Not rubbish at all.
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld wears shirts and trousers with trainers.
Okay. Right, let's go back to their accents. Pretty much one of the biggest situations of telling the traveller is from their accent. They have a very strong traveller accent.
Okay, so we've proved that you can't tell them by what they wear. So you're saying they wear shirts and trousers and trainers?
Not all of them. Stop taking it like that.
They have an aggressive attitude.
No, it's a general package. It's the whole package.
Peter,
you can't just judge them from one thing. It's when you look at someone. Okay, how do you tell? You know, like Jewish, for argument's sake, you can tell someone pretty much is Jewish in general because they wear the big hat with the curly spiral hair. It's a general package.
Peter, no. I can tell an Hasidic Jew generally because they're wearing the big hat and the curly hair. I can't tell if people are Jewish or not unless I'm getting a close look at their penis, and even then it's not, that doesn't necessarily prove it. People think I'm Jewish, but what does that mean?
Okay, so can we
I can tell a black man.
You can tell a black man, that's fine.
Yeah, I can't tell Jewish people, I can't tell travellers.
Okay. You've won your point, and you assume that you can't tell a traveller.
Thank you very much indeed. Okay. You can tell Jewish people they've got the black hats and the curly hair.
Wow, I know a number of Jewish people. I should tell them they're dressing wrong.
Scott's tweeted, this bloke is hanging himself quite brilliantly. But the travellers? How do you tell a traveller? They're quite aggressive. I shouldn't laugh. And they wear shirts and jeans with trainers.
Oh.
That's all of my mates.
That's what everyone wore in the 1990s.
We tried a experiment this week. You have trouble getting up in the morning, don't you?
Yeah,
Catherine?
I do. I can't think why.
There's a great app. You can't get it on... where did I put it? It's in one of the posh papers. You can't get it on iPhone, but you can get it on your phone.
Okay. Get my phone, not iPhone.
It's a wake-up call, right? So you say you want a wake-up call at 3:30 in the morning.
Yes.
And someone phones you up.
Oh, I can't be dealing with you.
But like a random person, right? It's called Wakey. And basically, anyone from anywhere in the world, they don't get your phone number, but anyone from anywhere in the world can then wake you up at the time. And loads of them are coming from Russia.
I want to do it, though.
Well, you can do it.
I want to be the person that...
You can do it. You sign up for it.
We do it as a team.
Woke up to a thick Russian accent telling me he loves me, said one. Another said, the other day I got woken up by a very drunk-sounding Russian guy, apparently in a loud bar. He didn't know how to say anything other than wake up in English.
What's it called?
Wakey. But I think you can then hear the other people that you're waking up. One user wrote on the internet, I think I just ended a relationship. Woke two people up. The first was cool, said, I'm awake, thanks. The second, not so cool. I could hear a man and a woman, and when she realised I could hear them too, she started freaking out on the guy. I tried to explain, but the one-minute timer was up. This sounds brilliant.
I want that.
Get that app. We're going to wake some people up. We'll wake some people up later on, shall we? We'll have some of that. Feeling chesty.
Get Kelly to rub it for you.
Oh, Colin, please.
Well...
You can't do that stuff at the BBC anymore.
Oh.
Don't.
No.
No.
Zip.
No.
Zip.
Zip. Stop it.
Yeah.
Hey.
Anyway, no. Being woken up.
Yes, sir. What, your waking up stories. Oh, wait, 459, 455, 555. Call me now.
Many years ago, I used to be on night duty... And my mum would wake me up at about...
Were you a male hooker?
No. I was a telephonist.
All right. For a hooking agency?
No. Firstly, for a large North London hospital.
Oh, cheeky. The Whittington.
And no, North Middlesex.
Okay.
And secondly, for...
You're literally on to save my voice.
Yeah.
That's it.
And secondly,
that's
for local police station.
All right, yeah.
Anyway, when my sister and her little baby came round...
Hang on a second. Cat's about to wake an Italian.
I'm looking for sleepers.
Right, OK. Colin, carry on. But if Catherine finds any sleepers, I will have to interrupt you. We want to hear her wake up someone.
Oh, yes.
Of course. You understand how it works.
Of course I do.
Of course you do, Cole.
Anyway, what used to happen was I used to be woken up by this baby crawling all over me and giving me slobbery kisses.
Sorry?
That's what she used to... My sister used to put the baby...
Being woken up by children... is the worst form of torture in the world. They should send a lot of kids to Guantanamo Bay and wake up those criminals. That'll get them confessing.
I hope your wife isn't listening.
She doesn't.
Oh, just as well then, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
Mm. So you've been taking lots of those lozenge juice and...
I've been sucking on a lot of things over the last week, Colin, and it's done me very, very little good. Have we found someone to wake up yet, Catherine?
Oh, hang on. I might have.
Really? Who?
Hang on.
What details is it? Put it on speakerphone.
Hang on.
This is the most exciting thing ever. Catherine's going to wake up a random person.
I can't. Hello, good morning. Wake up. Wake up now. Embrace the day. It's going to be great. You're looking fine. You smell great. Come on, let's do this.
Can you hear them?
Can't hear them.
You just faked it, didn't you?
Could you put them on speakerphone?
Can't.
Oh. I think this may be something we have to play with off air.
Someone's really confused somewhere in the world.
Yeah, you. I'm looking at that confused person. It's you.
They're still there.
Talk to them.
What if I sign up as a person that needs to be woken up and then you ring me?
This is getting so confused.
It's all gone wrong.
Where's she going?
She's off.
Oh, she's...
What's her beef?
I don't know.
I hope she doesn't pop into my...
Someone else, you can do it.
Who's... No, there's only 50 seconds. Hello? Time to wake up, man. Hey, man. Wake up! For goodness sakes! Right, OK, right, hang on. We're going to end the call. We'll go back to the app. We're going to find someone. This is exciting radio, isn't it, guys? Isn't it? Oh, I'm not going to phone that guy up.
He's got a really rude name. Shania Twain.
Oh, should we wake Shania Twain up? Wake up, sleepy. Hello? Oh. Right, I tell you what we'll do. We'll do the radio show.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
It is a little bit rubbish.
Oh, what a shame.
You do the talking, I'm going to wake up someone.
Maybe you're listening to this programme now and someone next to you needs waking up. Give us a call, 08459 455 555, and we'll do it on air. How about that?
You need to talk a bit longer.
That number again, 08459 455 555. It's rubbish.
Yeah, well, I think we've been sold a pup.
Yeah.
Well, that's certainly added to the death of this radio show.
Ring someone else.
Sorry?
Ring it someone else.
Yeah,
stop.
I said it to ring someone else.
Stop.
Your wake-up stories, please.
08459 455 555.
And in case you missed the phone number there.
One time I woke up next to a dead spider.
Whoa, I'm glad that
giant
sentence ended with spider. I thought it was going to be man. That would have been awful.
Do you know the experiment that we're referring to?
I don't know what experiment you're talking about.
It was rubbish.
The wakey-wakey.
When we tried to wake someone up on air.
You've put that in the podcast.
I could take it out.
I'm sorry you had to... No, keep it in, because it shows them that I'm not perfect. And even I make mistakes.
It also shows that you were only here for 2 days and I need to add up the content.
And by the way, I'm not here on Friday because Catherine and I are going to the Gillard's Awards. And you are now listening to the best breakfast show and the presenter of the year. Or, and you're listening to the best breakfast show, although we didn't win presenter of the year. Or, and you're listening to Best Presenter of the Year. Who cares about not winning Best Breakfast Show?
Hey!
Or, we didn't win anything, but what do awards mean? Take your pick.
We are the best breakfast show of the year, though.
Well,
under 10 million listeners.
For the Radio Academy Awards, formerly the Sonys. But then they get reset by the Gillards. Here's another call.
Good morning.
Hello, Matt. Oh, I sound like you, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I sound like you. Miserable old git.
Yeah, well, I wish you'd lose your voice again.
I wish you'd stop. I wish you'd lose your telephone again.
Do you know, you're back and you drove me mad already.
What have I done, mate?
You played that blasted song.
Which one?
Moving On.
Sorry?
The last song.
By Supergrass. Moving, just keep moving.
I didn't play that one today,
Matt. You're hallucinating, mate.
Am I?
You're at the whiskey again too early in the morning.
No, I'll do that later on.
The Littlest Hobo?
Yes.
What's your problem with that?
Well, you never tell us who's singing it.
I don't know who's singing it.
Gooch.
Lulu.
The name of the guy is Gooch.
Lulu Gooch?
No, Gooch.
What do you mean Gooch?
Will you listen? Your ears are playing up and all today.
Huh? This is my favourite joke. One of my favourite jokes.
But why don't you look it up? And there's hundreds of people that don't know who that is. Just, if you're going to play a song, tell us who is singing it.
But Matt, you know who's singing it.
Yeah, but I may know, but lots of other people don't know.
Well, why don't you tell them then?
You see, Jonathan wouldn't do that.
Most people don't care.
Terry Wogan wouldn't do that.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Chris Evans wouldn't do that.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Okay, well, why?
I'm going back to Radio 2. Ta-da.
Not off. What happened to her? Who got her knickers in a twist?
I don't know. Littlest hobo, apparently.
Yeah, littlest something, yeah. 08459 455 555 is the telephone number. If you any idea what she was banging on about.
Paul Scoynes has got visual aids.
Oh, God. He's really? They can treat that now, can't they?
He's taking them to the streets.
What?
Cue next item.
Oh, do I have to read? Have I got stuff to read?
Yeah, read the next thing. Or play the next thing.
Okay.
It's Paul Scoynes' package.
Can you read it for me? I can't be bothered.
Really? I've written it for you, though, in your voice.
You do it in my voice.
Scotland's been given more power following the...
Oh, mate, I'm not David Essex.
I can't do Southern. Scotland's been given more power following their referendum.
Oh, mate, I'm not...
Oh, mate.
Oh, mate.
Oh, mate.
Hey, I'm not... Don't do that. It's actually me trying to speak in a higher register. It comes out like this. This is what I'm doing in math all the time.
I'll read it properly. Everyone shush. Scotland's been given more power following their referendum.
She don't mind, does she? I've got no higher register.
Talking about politics.
Do low.
I can do low. Ooh. There's no regrets. I've been able to do a brilliant Scott Walker. I've been a bit obsessed with Scott Walker.
I bet you can do a good Boy George.
There's no regrets. No goodbye. I. Anyway, do Scoynes' package. Go on. Tease up Scoynes' package.
You really are it.
Apparently he's got visual aids. Such a shame. He's so young.
Stop stealing my lines. Scotland's been given more power following their referendum, even though they voted to stay. How does that work? So what's in it for us red-blooded English men, English women, and indeed English children? Should decisions about the money we pay in tax be made closer to home? Our political reporter Paul Scoynes has taken these three questions onto the streets of Hemel, home of the big tour, and answered them with the help of visual aids, like this.
It was a nice, bright and sunny morning. I'm in the centre of Hemel Hempstead by the Old Town Hall, home of the big tour, and I've got five jars, and those five jars have five key areas of spending that any devolved English Parliament, if there was one, would have to deal with, and that's health, transport, welfare, the police and education. And I've got a pound split into 5p pieces, and I'm going to try and see what people would spend their money on if they were in charge. You're right, sir. How do you fancy having a go at being a politician?
Oh, yeah.
So if I give you £1, do you want to tell me where you're going to put it? So you're going to put them all into health?
Yeah.
So they've all gone in there. What about transport and the police and everything else?
Oh, yeah, well, police, yeah. So education. Exactly.
Do you want any of that? Do you want to put any of your... You're in charge of the budget.
Oh, yeah.
So you've just put it all into health?
I've got a bit of headache this morning. Yeah. Well, I'd put some in the police.
OK.
They do a good job.
OK.
They're not just there to nick you, are they?
Well, I don't know. Sorry to bother you. I wondered if you wanted to play at being a politician. Bit of health.
Health. Transport. No one's put anything in there.
Do you want me to have a go?
Go on.
Okay. I'm going to, for various reasons...
Yeah.
I'm going to put the remainder, so I'm going to go top health heavy into welfare, because the cuts currently are affecting... very, very vulnerable people.
Yeah.
Both adults, particularly with dementia increasing.
I was thinking of older people.
It's being left to families to actually care for vulnerable people.
What do you think about the idea of putting that sort of control into a local government, maybe even an English parliament?
I think we should be more devolved. Because I do not see why we're the only government or the only country that doesn't have that. But what concerns me is too much power going to local government, because, again, it will depend who's actually running local government. So that concerns me slightly.
That it's just another tier of bureaucracy.
It is, indeed.
I'd probably like to see it more at local level as well.
Like worry, I said, it's just more politicians.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I know the importance of things like the Meals on Wheels and that sort of stuff that I would like to see more money go into, because at the end of the day, they're the people who need the most support and probably aren't getting it. And for people like that, they need the support and they need extra help, really. Otherwise, their lives are miserable.
Well, I've got rid of all of my money now, and I think the results are fairly interesting. So you've got quite a bit in health, quite a lot in welfare, equal amounts in the police and education. Transport, just a small amount was put in there, although I have to say I only really spoke to about four people, and it's entirely unscientific. But everybody came back saying they would be interested in having a greater say of where the money is spent in their area at a local level, which does beg the question whether an English Parliament is something that people here want to see.
Why did he do that?
He had some jars.
He wanted to use them?
Mm-hmm.
Wowzers. Again, I ask the question, though, why did he do that?
BBC did a survey, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Glenn, do you know why Scoynes did that?
I haven't got a clue.
No.
I'm glad he did, though.
It certainly saved my voice for 3 minutes 23 seconds, so thanks for that,
Paul. It's nice to have you back.
But?
No,
I heard you. I heard you sucking up to Dealey yesterday, mate. Yeah, I was... not so cocksure now, are you, young Glenn? I heard you sucking up to JD. I heard what was going on.
Listen, I just had a bit of a laugh when I listened to Scoynesy, because he reminds me of Clement Freud.
Oh.
The one that... Do you know who Clement Freud is?
It is. I saw him getting stopped at airport security, arguing with someone because he had a pair of nail scissors. And they wouldn't let him take them on.
But he was, like, sort of... boring, wasn't he? Sorry, Paul.
Thank you, Glenn. Have we got any texts, Catherine?
Let's have a look.
Let's have a look at the old text machine.
I've been to the texts for ages. Let's have a look.
Let's boot it up.
All right, hang on, this may take a while.
Boot it up one time. I think that's still a phrase, isn't it?
Yeah,
do we still
sure.
boot up computers?
Yeah.
No one boots up anymore.
You reboot.
I see what they should invent. When you're connecting to the internet, they should make it do the 56K dial-up noise.
Just as a reminder.
Just as a reminder, when you click on Internet Explorer. I like that noise.
Yeah, and when you press play on a CD, it should do the crackle of a record. Just as a reminder.
Just as a reminder. What would you like to be reminded of?
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
We'll have to do it after this now.
Oh. When it does, you know
that I will be there. Oh, I've got shivers. Sex Pistols and I want to be. Oh, I've got shivers. I'm 15 again. I'm 15 again. Oh.
Oh, yes.
For those of you who don't know, that is the wonderful Frank Sidebottom. The wonderful Frank Sidebottom.
Oh, blimey, boss.
Oh, blimey, boss. We lost Frank, blimey, 4.5 years ago. Gosh. For those of you who don't know, Frank was, always will be an absolute legend. There's lots happening. There's there's a film that's come out that's kind of uses Frank as inspiration. There's a documentary coming out about Frank and Chris CV. There's also, at last, out today, there's a book about Frank and Chris written by Mick Middles. Good morning, Mick.
Good morning.
What a joy to play that on the radio.
It's good to hear quality music on the radio again.
15-year-old me. If you'd have told me when I was 15 I'd be playing this stuff on the radio, I wouldn't have believed you. Mick, you've written a book about Frank and about Chris. It comes out today. You can get it on electronic book. But it's a proper book today, isn't it?
It's a proper book today, yes. It came out earlier in the year in electronic book. It's like a cleaned-up version, this.
I can't be doing with the electronic books. I want paper. I want covers.
Yeah, you've got to have comic. You've got to be able to smell them, haven't you, really?
You've got to smell... Why have you written a book about Chris CV and Frank Sidebottom?
Always wanted to, from years back. In fact, I even spoke with Chris about it about 20 years ago, but because it was a unique story. I can't think of anything else in the annals of show business that is anything like Frank Sidebottom and Chris.
It's nuts. I mean, I got introduced to Frank Sidebottom when I was 13, 14 years old at school. My friend Malcolm brought in some 12-inch the extended play records, and it was just the most... this bloke with a massive head singing in a nasal voice. He's got a ventriloquist puppet that's sometimes sentient, that sometimes isn't. It's insane!
Yes, absolutely, yes. And the reality was even more insane, to be honest. The relationship between Chris and Frank... It was endlessly fascinating. You know, they hated each other, really.
Did they hate each other?
Yeah, Frank used to get on Chris's nerves. And, you know, the really situation, if you rang Chris and Frank would answer the phone, you'd have to get Frank to go and get Chris. And he'd go, and they'd be arguing in the background. You could hear them arguing. I'm not quite, you know, and then Chris would come and go, he's really getting on my nerves today. You know... Which I think, if you're doing that for 20 years, it starts to get to you a bit.
Because I've had the great pleasure of working with Frank quite a few times, and again, it was like meeting the Beatles for me. Once the head was on,
yeah,
Chris disappeared. Chris was gone.
Completely went, didn't he? It was a very strange sensation, that, wasn't it?
Although I must admit, the last time I worked with Frank, both Chris and Frank got really, really drunk, and Frank was supposed to do a 20-minute set.
Yeah,
he did an hour.
Yeah.
In front of 36 people. he was completely legless. And backstage, I had the great pleasure of Frank Sidebottom swearing at me. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, he did imbibe a bit. I think, I think that was part of Frank getting to Chris, really, and he's the only way he can get by, you know.
He divided people, because my sister hates Frank Sidebottom with a passion. Yeah. People either loved it or just hated it and didn't get it. Why was that, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's very true. I don't know the reason. My theory about Frank is that he takes you back to, you just mentioned then about you're 15 again, he takes you back to earlier than that, I think. He takes you back to a 13-year-old state before sex and tax and work and all that sort of thing, and people feel comfortable with him. Some people feel comfortable with him, but it is a sort of person that likes Frank, it has to be said. A lot of nice, nerdy people.
Do you know what? You're right. That sums up a Frank Sidebottom. They're all slightly gentle, geeky people.
Yeah, they're lovely people, but a little bit bonkers, but in a nice way. Yeah.
Did you find out anything about Frank or Chris that surprised you when you were researching the book?
Yeah, very much, actually, because I went back to his childhood friends and Paul, his wife, and people like that. And I realised that Frank, he was that before. When Chris was a lad, he used to get the lads around and ask for Beauty-O tournaments, but he'd always go one step further in that he would have tea at half-time, he'd make programmes, he'd sell tickets. You know,
the
whole thing. And if he played a board game, he had to invent another part of it. His whole life was doing this, you know. And the first time I met them, I reviewed them for Sounds about 1978, The Freshies.
The Freshies was his kind of a serious pop band, wasn't
it? Right, and about 3 days later, a huge parcel arrived at my house, the parents' house it was, brand new house. Didn't know what it was. I ripped it open, and a million polystyrene balls split across the room, and we were still tidying those polystyrene balls 5 years later. You know, should have seen the signs there, shouldn't I, really?
Is it true? One of the great stories I've heard, and I don't know if this is, because I've heard lots of myths, that his wife gave him the money to go and pay the gas bill, and he came back with a ZX Spectrum.
Yeah.
And he said, we're going to make our money on this, I'm going to write computer games.
Yes, yeah, that is true.
Wow.
In fact, that happened all the time. Various managers couldn't give him any money. Like, they couldn't say, that's to pay your tax with, because he'd go and buy Thunderbirds kits with it. You know, really, even at age 50, he would, you know, that's what it was like. He just wasn't like anybody else.
And that was the joy, because I've spent the time with Frank and with Chris, and Chris was, he was a brilliant artist, you know, in every sense of the word. He was a great artist, in as much as he could see the world in a different way.
Yes.
And he just had such ambition, didn't he?
He did. In fact, I think you hit the nail on the head there with that, because I think the point of this book is, and I think there'll be further books and further films and that, is that he was an artist, and Frank was just one small part of Chris as an artist. And as an artist, it's the way he lived his life every single day. It wasn't just the things he created. It's just the way he went about. He just did it in a different way to anyone else.
He used to find me up and say, Ian, I've got a great idea for a show for you. What we're going to do is, it's going to be called Frank Sleepover, and I'm going to come and stay at your house, right, and we'll do it all properly. I'm going to bring a sleeping bag, and Frank will sleep at your house, and then he's going to wake you up at 1:30 in the morning going through your drawers. And that was his idea for a show.
Yeah.
And he was constantly coming up with ideas like that.
He did stuff like that, yeah. He did a test card all night once, you know.
Oh, he did.
The live test card, yeah.
Listen, the book is Frank Sidebottom, Out of His Head, the authorised biography of Chris Seavey. You can get it on Kindle. It's now out on proper book, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. Out today.
And you can get it on out. I've literally just ordered it, Mick.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you so much for doing it.
A pleasure.
I miss Chris terribly, and I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on this. Best of luck.
OK, thanks very much.
Mick, thank you very much indeed. Well, let's end with a little bit of zoo scrapbook, shall we? Sick.
Oh, what are you doing? What's it look like I'm doing? Cutting this out. What are you cutting that out for? Oh, I've got a picture of a rhino. A little Frank, would you like to take a look?
Oh, yes, please.
Because little Frank, you know as well as I know. I stick them in my zoo scrapbook.
That's it. That's your lot. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks. Wait, I don't want to shake your hand. You don't wash them after a week.
I do now.
You do now?
Yeah. Have,
did you?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, let's shake
just after a poo. Thanks. I don't wash. Oh. Catherine?
No, you're all right.
All righty. Guys, I'm out of here. I still haven't got a high register.
Wow.
Can't do that.
But you can do low, though, can't you?
I can do low. Oh. How low can you go?
Thanks for listening to this free download from BBC Three Counties Radio, your local radio station for Beds, Hearts and Bucks, on FM, AM, digital radio and online at bbc.co.uk/threecounties.